They come from Angola, Bahrain, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Burma, Cambodia, Egypt, Estonia, Haiti, Kuwait, Malaysia, Mexico, Morocco, Nigeria, Norway, Pakistan, Philippines, Slovenia, Sweden, and Turkey. If you could stand and welcome to Portland. We're glad you're here.
Before we start, if I could make an announcement.
Sure.
This morning at 6:30 a.m., Catherine Ann Kovach, weighing in at 7 pounds, 5 ounces, was born to Ty and Elizabeth Kovach.
That's great news. All right.
Wife known as Betsy.
Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Let's do the communications first. Can you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 439?
Request of Victoria Taft to address Council regarding Commissioner's support of Mayor Adams.
Good morning, Ms. Taft. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much.
3 minutes, and you'll need to give us your first and last name.
Well, good morning. My name is Victoria Taft, and I live and work and vote in Portland, Oregon. And I see in the news that you're doing a little horse trading these days with Multnomah County. And you're willing to help replace the dilapidated and dangerous Selwood Bridge if Multnomah County will lie down and cheerlead the spending of hundreds of millions of our tax dollars on a shiny new convention center hotel. And sure, this is political horse trading, and we see it every day at the local and the state and federal level. But this one's in a class by itself. Now, as I understand it, the Selwood Bridge is among the least safe bridges in the country. In fact, it's a laughingstock. Sure, the bridge looks like a bridge. It looks sturdy enough, I guess. And it seems to get the job done on a daily basis. But the foundational underpinnings are crumbling. Indeed, it stands as a monument to the neglect of the wishes of the voters. It is testimony to voters that other choices have been made in their behalf, and their wishes and their safety really aren't paramount to the elected officials. Now, as I thought about my remarks this morning to encourage my friend Sam Adams to resign because of his having sex with a teenager and then engaging in a conspiracy to lie about it to win an election, I thought this bridge story was an apt metaphor for Mayor Adams, the scandal, and its relationship to the taxpayers and voters in Portland, Oregon. I mean, he looks like he's doing a job. He looks sturdy enough. But his foundations are weak, and support in him is crumbling, and he is a laughingstock. But he wants to make a political deal with the public, and it goes something like this. Ignore my crumbling support and fissures in my foundation, and I will bring you a shiny new bauble. He leverages the wishes and considerations and indeed safety of the voters in favor of his own selfish interests, his naked arrogance, and greed. And then he says, if I rehabilitate myself by bribing you with this, we'll be okay. Well, we don't buy it. That alone should be enough to convince Sam Adams to resign. 1 week ago, I had the privilege of helping organize an event that attracted between 5,000 and 7,000 people a couple of blocks away at Pioneer Courthouse Square. I mean, the place was packed. Notwithstanding efforts to malign those good Tea Party people, their message was clear. People come first, and political horse trading comes last. They called for an end to reckless spending, especially at a time of a recession when they can least afford it. This is not the time to expand government. It's the time to consider who's paying the bills here and give them more breathing room, not less. And government, and you all, need to get the message. One of the things I wanted to talk about this morning was what I had to do to get up to speed on what the real Tea Party was all about back in 1773. And I called around, and I spoke to the expert on the Boston Tea Party, a university professor in Boston, Massachusetts. And he explained to me the rebellion by the people over tyrannical taxation by the British Parliament, the control over people's lives by an onerous government. One man, one patriot, who had tried to negotiate with the British, had finally had enough. He stood up for what was right, and you all know his name. His name was Samuel Adams. And the professor said to me, yes, founding father Samuel Adams, selfless, willing to do the right thing for his countrymen, he's a far cry from your mayor. The only person who doesn't understand that you need to resign, Sam, is you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taft. Appreciate it. Could you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 440?
Request of Ulysses Hardiman to address Council regarding parking enforcement.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council. Glad that you're here, Mr. Hardiman.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Please have a seat.
Thank you.
Just give us your first and last name officially for the record, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Absolutely. Ulysses Hardiman, H-A-R-D-I-M-A-N is my name. If I may be so bold, I don't think everybody speaks for everybody around here. I was in a wrestling team in high school, and the periods were 3 minutes long. Well, I found out if you get on the mat with a guy like Chuck Fenton, 3 minutes can be a very long time. But anyway, I wanted to address the council, and I hope that you'll give me some help on this. And this, I'm actually appealing to you. I need your help. I need your understanding. You know, the whole area, we just came through a really harsh, vicious winter, tore up all kind of things, triple trimet, and caused ODOT trouble and caused me trouble. But the situation is that I have a car, just an old car. I don't think anybody here would even want it. It's a 79 Buick. And what I'd hoped to do with that car was I've got a tag, I've got a license, I've got insurance, and I have driver's license. And in order to break this employment problem I've got, I was going to haul pizza, and I was going to haul some newspapers with the car. Well, what I've been doing with the car is I move it around in areas where the commercial district, areas where the curbs and whatnot are, the parking's not enforced. I'm watching people drive cars around there with no plates on the cars at all. Cars parked several weeks. One van parked for the entire winter. But I've got a situation in which, and I hate, I'm so ashamed to come before this August group and complain in 2009 that I think I'm being racially discriminated against. I mean, the only black guy in the area with a car is me. You know, nobody complains on anybody else. And they peep around and peep around, and they say, oh, well, it's old black Ulysses over there, and they go and make a complaint. In talking to parking enforcement, they say, well, we're a complaint-driven organization. And say, well, you allow these people to racist me here, for Pete's sake. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to bamboozle Portland, and I fall in the line, I observe and carefully, and I join the same frequencies that I see. But in the meeting, maid says, okay, well, your car will be okay until Thursday. I didn't argue with her about my legality of parking my car, which is parked in front of an undeveloped old lot, old growth, uncurbed. And so she says, well, I didn't argue with her at all, just left it alone. And then I moved my car late at night or early morning, and I put it back, you know, almost exactly the same place because of the shape of that and the condition of that lot right there. Well, she said I would be okay until Thursday. I said, okay then, well, there, you know what I mean? And I get over there Wednesday about 4 o'clock, you know, just to make sure the car, everything's ready to go so I can get my car ready. I wanted to, I have bikes on top of it. I want to get one of them off of it and fix it and get ready to ride it. And the car is towed. So I call up and I say, well, I call the police. I thought, well, somebody stole my car. You know, somebody stole it. You know, there are a few old 350 V8s around. Somebody may have wanted mine. Says, oh, well, no, the car's been towed. What do you mean the car's been towed, you know? I try to put out a stolen car complaint on the car. And I'm asking the council. I know the charter says you've got the authority to do it. Please give me back my car. I mean, the judge is telling me I got to pay $1,600. They're going to junk my car. It's got my papers in there. It's got my Lee Oscar harmonica in there. You know what Lee Oscar harmonica is? You ain't heard me play it yet.
And, sir, I've given you almost an extra minute to make your case. And if you could stop by my office on the third floor on the way out and ask for Shoshana Oppenheim, and let's see what we can do.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mayor. Also, Mr. Hardiman was before us the last time on the Petersons matter. He spoke very eloquently.
Yes, Your Honor.
He's also been working with George Hocker in my office. So if you and Shoshana and George got together, I think it might be a productive meeting.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Outstanding.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming in.
Mayor Adams, you continue doing a good job. Ignore people who are not even elected.
Thank you, sir.
As are you.
I appreciate that. Could you please read the title for communications item number 441?
Request of Elizabeth Gibson, Denali Stoneworks, Inc., to address council regarding sheltered market program and small business in Portland.
Good morning, Ms. Gibson. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Welcome to City Council. You just need to give us your name, and you'll have 3 minutes, and that clock in front of you will help sort of guide your time.
Thank you very much.
And you can sit down.
My name's Elizabeth Gibson. My company is Denali Stoneworks. I'm in business to fabricate and install slab and tile projects. I have two companies, and I employ 15 people. And in addition to that, I subcontract employees, so I'm responsible for keeping about 30 people in work. If it weren't for the Portland Sheltered Market Program, about 15 people would be on unemployment today. While I was researching for new market opportunities, I came across Gene Jackson's name on the City of Portland website. I called him, he answered his phone, he gave me advice, and he told me to follow up and call him back. I did those things. After a year, I'm now proud to tell you that I'm WBE certified by the state of Oregon, an ESB contractor, and a DBE contractor. I'm pre-qualified with the City of Portland as a masonry contractor, and I successfully won a bid as a subcontractor to do marble restoration at the Piddock Mansion. While this project is really small, it was really important to me. What it did is it allowed me to apply the expertise that I had developed in the residential market, restoring marble tops on antique furniture, to a beautiful historic public building. And more than that, it got me to think different. It got me to be able to translate the expertise in this market where I'd become entrenched and to be able to go after some public projects. Okay, the light bulb came on. I can now see how other work can translate. For example, the same skill that I use to cut granite countertops and drill core holes for faucets, I can do saw cutting and boring holes for pipes in concrete. This surprised me. I have a master's degree in mechanical engineering. I like tooling, and I'm good at it. But I wasn't able to make the jump. What the SMP did is it gave me an opportunity to bid on these small projects, and really it ignited the spark. And so now 15 people, instead of being out of work, they're refocused and using their skills in public projects. In addition, I've been able to hire 2 more people. And beyond that, it's encouraged me to really focus my company on results. The SMP was the path to reinvent my business and save jobs. And so now I'm re-energized to be the best company that I can be, hiring people and developing quality processes. I hope that some of the stimulus funding can be segmented out and channeled into the SMP. I believe that it saves jobs, keeping people off of unemployment. And besides that, it actually saves the city total costs because it allows more people to compete for these projects. And so when there's just more people participating, you have more competition. The SMP is vital in supporting small and emerging business. It's a conduit to information and encourages creative thinking and partnerships between small business owners. It's an invitation to the bid room. So I want to say thank you to the City of Portland for being serious enough about small business to support a program like this. And personally, thank you for giving me an opportunity to bid and work on city work. And thanks for listening to my story.
So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to hire you, I understand you're at denalistoneworks@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Any other place they can get a hold of you?
The website,
okay.
www.denalistoneworks.com.
Any special sales or promotional thing? Commissioner?
Anyone Fritz? Who has countertops, John Holly's a reference.
John Holly's great.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
Thank you for taking the time to coming back to say that the city program was helpful to you. And I know you had a lot of things to say in a short amount of time, so you used a number of different acronyms, which I'd like you to explain for the folks listening at home. Could you just tell people what SMP, WBE, DBE, and ESB are?
Yes, absolutely. SMP stands for Sheltered Market Program. is a program that was developed and is supported by the City of Portland. Gene Jackson is actually the program coordinator, and it segments some of the larger projects out and allows only smaller emerging companies to bid.
And then WBE?
WBE is Women Business Enterprise. It is a state certification that you have to go through, and you can find that on the OWMESB website.
And ESB?
ESB stands for Emerging Small Business, and that is a gender, race neutral. The only requirement to get into that program is to be small or emerging.
And finally, DBE?
DBE is Disadvantaged Business Enterprise. And while that, you get a state certification, my understanding is it's beneficial for federal.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Carla, can you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 442?
Request of P.J. Mulcahy to address Council regarding Mayor Adams.
I guess they're not here.
P.J. Mulcahy.
Would you please read the title for Council Calendar Item 443?
Request of Al Jasper to address Council regarding private versus a public sewer service lateral and the local improvement district process.
Mr. Jasper, welcome back to City Council. Glad you're here. You only need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Al Jasper, J-A-S-P-E-R. The title of my little spiel here is Stop the Injustice. It's about a sewer matter in downtown Central Business District at the near the intersection of Southwest 4th and Stark, of a property owned by a friend of mine, Mr. Hartman. And it's about it started about a sewer odor which occurred a few years ago. And the question has been bantered around for quite a while between different bureaus. And it comes down to the question of public versus private. The city, of course, has said that there are no documents, no records of this origin of it, etc. I have spent the better part of the last year in doing research from multiple angles about this particular subject, and there was new evidence uncovered. There's been an attempt for the last 8 months to present this evidence to all of you folks. We've been getting silence, denial, deferral. Nobody wants to look at what's going on here because maybe they're afraid of something to hide. Who's afraid of the truth? I'm not sure. It's always been not just the doors are closed, but they're slammed in our face when we're trying to bring information forward, and everything is deferred to an engineer. This is not a question of engineering. This is a question of city law and city policy. And who's trying to stop this investigation? I'm not sure. But let's just say that the commissioner in charge of BES at the time, who was the commissioner in charge at the time BES when this issue arose? Who is the commissioner in charge of risk management? Who is the commissioner in charge of the office of city attorney? By coincidence, they're all the one and the same person. I'll let you decide whether there's any theme here that follows or not. I'm not sure. But by the rest of you folks silencing this issue, you are part to what's going on here. The city has taken a false position of this being a private sewer in the public right-of-way out in the street. In spite of the evidence that we have, and the city attorney has presented amicus briefs in a civil lawsuit that will be, if with the case coming up in May the 13th at the appeals court, if this goes against Mr. Hartman, it's another $250,000 damages on his back that are caused by a fallacious point of view from the city. Do you all want to suffer? Do you all want to take the responsibility personally for having been a part of this? By your position of being an officer of this, you are endorsing the city attorney's position in this record. Are you attempting to do to Mr. Hartman what the Multnomah County has done to poor Miss Dorothy English? I'm sure you're aware of her. May she rest in peace. I'm asking you to consider to have the city attorney at least withdraw this amicus brief at this point and somebody step forward and open the door and open a dialogue and look at the issue and address the truth and the facts instead of the continuing stonewalling that we've been fighting for over the last 8 months. Thank you for your time. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Jasper. Appreciate your testimony. That takes us to the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull an item off the consent agenda? Hearing no request to do so, Carla, can you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Fish? Oh, sorry. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
So Mayor Adams doesn't like me to pull things off the consent agenda, so I didn't because I really want the Office of Neighborhood Involvement funding. But I wish I never miss an opportunity to talk about. But I want to put to note that item 453, which Mayor Adams has brought to the council, is for construction on North Denver Street in downtown Kenton. And it's a wonderful project, which is $2.8 million to do some many improvements there using urban renewal funds. It's something that was long promised to the neighborhood, and it's a really good project, which is putting people to work. So I'm very pleased to vote aye on consent.
Adams.
Aye. Consent is approved. Oops. We have a late aye. Council calendar items 445, 446, and 447 are rescheduled, unless objections, are rescheduled till next week. Can we get a time certain for those?
Those were 3 p.m.
3 p.m. next Wednesday?
Next Wednesday the 29th.
Right? Okay, 3 p.m. next Wednesday to the 29th. So moved. Carla, can you please read the title for council calendar item 444?
Appoint Stephen Strauss to the Portland Development Commission for a term to expire April
21, 2011. So over the past year, the Portland Development Commission has developed a more focused mission. With the reorganization of PDC, which council voted on in January, we have moved housing components out of the bureau. We're in the process of doing so that the focus of PDC is on economic development. The emerging economic development focus, which will be finalized and released in the coming weeks, is around building the most sustainable city and economy in the U.S. and hopefully the world. Today, I'm very pleased to provide for council consideration a candidate to serve on the Portland Development Commission who has hands-on expertise in for-profit sustainability to help lead our efforts. And I'd like to introduce you to Steve Strauss, who I'm recommending to you as an impressive candidate for the Portland Development Commission Board. As we craft our economic development strategy that positions sustainability as our region's competitive advantage, I believe Mr. Strauss's experience coming up and leadership in green building will be the perfect complement to the talents and expertise already on the board. Steve is president of Glumac, a building services engineering firm with offices in Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, San Francisco, Silicon Valley, Los Angeles, Irving, and Las Vegas. Steve leads a firm where all principals and associate principals are LEED accredited professionals and are focused on and making a real impact on conserving our natural resources for projects big and small. Steve leads the EcoShred at Glumac and provides innovative, integrated design solutions for complex problem projects around the world. He regularly solicits clients' feedback and reviews progress for quality control. I'm very pleased to present Steve Strauss. And do you want to make some introductory remarks, Chair Will Hoyt?
Yes, thanks, Mayor Adams. Charles Will Hoyt, Chair of the Portland Development Commission. Very pleased to have the opportunity to be here this morning to introduce Steve Strauss and to provide a very strong recommendation in support of his appointment to the Portland Development Commission. I've met Steve within the last couple of months, and I've had several meetings with him. And while I haven't known Steve for a very long time, I can state three things with certainty. Steve has a very electric and infectious enthusiasm for all things he does. Steve also possesses a firm commitment to doing things right and getting them done. And finally, as you indicated, Mayor Adams, Steve has a wealth of knowledge in the area of sustainability. And I just came from the Portland Business Alliance's annual meeting this morning, and the whole focus was on the topic of sustainability. Our keynote speaker from Walmart talked about their efforts towards sustainability. And we know in Portland, our goal is to interweave the fabric of sustainability into everything that we're doing. So we're very pleased to have the opportunity to bring Steve to the Portland Development Commission, because I think his perspective will aid us in all that we are doing with regard to development and advancing our goals in the city of Portland and the state of Oregon. So I'm very pleased to have the opportunity, and I do strongly recommend Steve's appointment. I know Commissioner Molis is here with me today to also offer some support for Steve. So thank you for allowing me to be here.
Commissioner Molis.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. And I'm sure you have a very busy agenda, so I'm not going to repeat what Cheryl Wilhoit just said. I would just offer up that I've just known Steve for a couple months as well. I've enjoyed meeting him, and I think he will bring great strengths and attributes to the Portland Development Commission, and I urge your unanimous approval of his nomination.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, Commissioners, thank you so much for this opportunity. I would love to volunteer my time to help bring green jobs to the city of Portland. I'd like to see Portland be the epicenter for sustainable business. I don't want us just to use photovoltaic panels. I want to manufacture them here. I don't want to just use light rail trains. I want to see them being manufactured here. I think now is a great time to bring jobs to the city of Portland. We need those jobs. You've done so much to make this a fabulous city. We can attract great young talent. Let's get to work and do that now.
Comments from council before we vote?
If I may, Mayor, first I want to just say to our commissioner designate, I enjoyed our meeting, and what Chair Wilhoit said about your electric personality I think is very true. I think I probably didn't have to drink coffee for a week after the booster shot of about an hour of talking to you about sustainability and the vision. And you're going to add a lot. And I tell you, as the housing commissioner, you've also made it clear that you're going to be helpful to this council in developing a green housing agenda. And when we talk about green housing, we're not just talking about market rate. We're also talking about affordable. Mm-hmm. And the mayor and I will shortly have some news on that that I think will be quite exciting to people in Portland. So I welcome you. And I also want to say to Chair Wilhoit and Commissioner Molis, I want to thank you for the time and energy that you're putting into helping us create a new housing bureau. It would be an understatement to say this has not been easy. But with your support and the team at PDC and, frankly, the full participation of the workforce that is helping us to make this a successful transition, it will get done, and I'm grateful for the leadership that you've provided in that endeavor. And I'm pleased to support, Steve, your nomination.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. You can stay there. Is anyone signed up to testify?
No one signed up.
All right, then let's take the vote while you're seated here at the table. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fish?
I only have one question for council. If we actually vote yes and we appoint you, does this become an illegal quorum of your body?
We won't say anything until our meeting tomorrow.
Okay, good, please. No business.
Always the lawyer.
Steve, thanks for volunteering your time after meeting with you and reviewing your CV. I don't know how you're going to have the time to do this and all the other things you're involved with, but we're lucky to have you on the PDC Commission, and we look forward to working with you. Aye.
Thank you.
Saltzman?
Well, welcome, Steve. We appreciate your time and energy that you'll be giving to this job, but also I'm very impressed with your credentials and certainly your passion for many of the things that I'm also passionate about. In fact, I think you stole some of my lines that I've been saying for years. You know, we need not only to be the place where we design green buildings, but we need to be the place that manufactures the stuff that goes into green buildings. So I like your mantra, and I definitely want to see that passion prevail and help the city help create jobs. So look forward to working with you. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you, Steve, for serving. You're clearly the right guy at the right time and moving Portland forward. So I really appreciate your commitment.
Thank you.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you all for serving. I think sometimes citizens don't realize that the Portland Development Commission is volunteers and what a huge amount of volunteer time you put in for that and how it takes away from your own businesses. And so I really appreciate all that you do, and I'm looking forward to working with you. Aye.
Thank you.
Adams.
Congratulations. You're now PDC Commissioner. Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Carla, can you please read the title for council calendar item? Get to the right page here. 474.
Establish a Better Together organic garden at Portland City Hall to encourage the production of community-grown food and urge Portland and Multnomah County residents to assist hunger relief efforts by supporting the Plant a Row for the Hungry campaign.
All right. This was introduced by Commissioners Adams, Fish, and Saltzman, but I know that support exists for all five. And this is really intended to be a garden of inspiration. It will grow some food, but given the relative small size of our plot outside, it's going to be symbolic, but an important symbol. As we strive to become the most sustainable city in the world, this gives us an opportunity. Go ahead and take a seat up here. Gives us an opportunity to walk our talk in terms of cutting back on carbon emissions, buying local, and building a resilient and more self-sufficient economies. It's estimated that 36,000 people in Portland and Multnomah County require emergency food boxes every month as they struggle to afford enough nutrition and affordable and culturally appropriate food. The produce from this garden will go to Loaves and Fishes, where it will be turned into nutritious meals. And I look forward to joining with my council colleagues in turning dirt on City Hall's front yard. And I thank Steve Cohen and members of the Portland-Multnomah County Food Policy Council for their yard work on this issue and other food issues.
Thank you.
Steve, do you want to begin?
Thank you. Yes, I would. Mayor Adams, commissioners, thank you. The Climate Action Plan, Peak Oil Task Force, Diggable City Report, Neighborhood Food Assessments, and recommendations from the Portland-Multnomah Food Policy Council all conclude that if we are to create sustainable cities for the future, we must meet our food needs closer to home. A Better Together organic garden at City Hall can plant the seeds that will inspire healthy communities. During World War II, the government encouraged the country to plant victory gardens, and 20 million Americans produced 8 million tons of food, over 40% of the produce consumed nationally. Our city's residents are hungry to learn the skills that can help them turn their lawns into lunches and landscapes into larders, as evidenced by over the 600 people who have recently signed up for the Urban Growth Bounty sustainable food classes that have been offered by the city. The Better Together Organic Garden will grow through donations from local businesses, including Portland Nursery, Fiddleheads Landscaping, and this morning's Best Award winner, One Green World. It will flourish from compost and soil produced from the city's recycling programs. It will be nurtured by volunteers, including our master gardeners, and its bounty will nourish City Hall's downtown neighbors in need. Michael Pollan, in his most recent bestseller, In Defense of Food, ended his book by urging us all to simply plant something, even if it's a pot of herbs on a windowsill. Because, as Pollan writes, to take part in the intricate and endlessly interesting process of providing for our own sustenance is the surest way to escape the culture of fast food and the values implicit in that. That food should be fast, cheap, and easy. That food is a product of industry, not nature. That food is fuel and not a form of communion with other people as well as with other species, with nature. So thank you for your support of A Better Together garden at City Hall that will help us connect to the roots of community.
Thank you. Welcome to City Hall. Who would like to go next?
I'll go next. Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor. I'm Mary Bedard. I'm a landscape architect in town. I also sit on the Food Policy Council. I'm also the chair of the Friends of Portland Community Gardens, and you're all aware of that group. All of us in the food world appreciate this opportunity to make food issues more visible. Just speaking to the design, given the limited space and the formality of City Hall, we kept the design very simple. It'll follow the curves of the paving and the entry with beds in concentric arcs. The areas adjacent to the paving are the sunniest parts of the garden and are best for annual vegetables such as lettuce, chard, beets, and all those fun salad things. The rosarians, rose beds around the edges will be preserved. We're not going to go there. But we will take out the boxwood and make a path so that maintenance people can actually take care of the roses better. We want to formalize the access to both the Liberty Bell on the north and the Memorial Garden on the south by laying a hard surface pathway to each. These paths will allow the public a view of the vegetable beds as well as accessing the edible perennial shrubs like blueberries and aronia, if you've ever heard of that, along the edges behind the vegetable beds. Using ornamental edible shrubs will demonstrate an easy way to incorporate food plants into home gardens, even if there's no space for vegetable beds. We'll incorporate educational signage about edible landscaping and food donations at a later time. Thanks.
Hi.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to you today. My name is Tammy Vanderwood. I'm a public policy advocate at Oregon Food Bank, and I also am a member of the Portland Multnomah Food Policy Council. The vision of the Portland Multnomah Food Policy Council is that all residents have access to a wide variety of nutritious and affordable food grown locally and sustainably. The Food Policy Council thinks the Better Together Organic Garden is important because of its ability to both provide nutritious food to vulnerable citizens and to widely communicate to Portlanders and others in the region the benefits of growing food right here in the heart of the city. The timing of this garden could not be more important. Requests for emergency food continue to reach record levels throughout Oregon. Day after day, Oregon Food Bank is seeing new families coming to food pantries for the very first time. The pressures of unemployment, home foreclosures, health emergencies are making it increasingly difficult to afford nutritious food. In fact, during the first half of this fiscal year, distribution of emergency food in Portland and Multnomah County shot up almost 15%. In Multnomah County alone, an estimated 36,000 people eat from an emergency food box each month. A staggering number of Portlanders are asking for help. At the same time, we know that Portland is a city where people want to step up and help their neighbors in need. For home gardeners, planting an extra row of their harvest for hunger relief efforts can help neighbors in need. Plant a Row for the Hungry is a campaign of the National Garden Writers Association of America. As part of this campaign, Oregon Food Bank helps connect home gardeners with hunger relief agencies in neighborhoods throughout Portland by calling Oregon Food Bank at 503-282-0555 or visiting our website at www.oregonfoodbank.org. You and others can find more information about Plant a Row, including neighborhood maps with local hunger relief agencies that can accept the homegrown fruits and vegetables you grow. The donated produce will bring nutritious, local, and good-tasting food onto the dinner tables of our vulnerable neighbors throughout the community. The Better Together Organic Garden is important because it will provide fresh, nutritious produce to the Hunger Relief Agency Loaves and Fishes Elm Court here downtown. Further, this garden will communicate to Portlanders the value of gardening, of supporting hunger relief efforts, and encourage citizens to participate in these efforts. So thank you, Mayor Adams and Commissioners, for leading by example and helping to fight hunger with fresh and nutritious produce in Portland.
Thank you all very much. Really appreciate your work and your testimony. Do we have anyone signed up to testify?
We have two people signed up, Jason Worcester and Bradley, his last name.
Come on up. We'll have questions there. Welcome to City Council. Glad you're here. You'll have just give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Cool. Good morning. Oh, good morning. My name's Jason Worcester. Commissioner Fish, I'd like to commend you on your leadership of the Parks Department to address hunger of fellow Portlanders with agenda number 465 that got passed in the consent agenda. Information on this agenda item will be salient to the forementioned. Thank you, commissioners, for providing an inexpensive yet symbolically powerful gesture by having a garden in front of City Hall. I fully support this agenda item, as no residents in our city should ever know hunger. The following information and suggestions I present to you today are to increase the availability for Portlanders to make this a reality. Currently, the Oregon Oregon Trail Card, also known as food stamps, can be used to buy not only seeds but food starts. One issue facing small nurseries is that they are unable to accept Oregon Trail Cards due to Oregon Department of Human Services bureaucratic rules that stipulate a minimum gross sales. I think that I ask that this council actively lobby DHS to exclude nurseries from this minimum requirement and allow for our neighborhood nurseries to accept payment via the Oregon Trail Card. This expands the ability for those on food stamps to shop at their local nurseries for food starts and receive expert gardening advice from staff. More so, this provides an economic stimulus to these struggling small businesses. Some of the best places for sun are in the city-owned property between the curb and the street, known as the Furniture Zone, or also more commonly, the Planter Strip. As a renter, I've lived in some places where the landlords have expressly prohibited gardening on their property and in the publicly owned strips. I ask that the city promote growing food in these areas, not only in front of residential units, but also schools and parks. It is estimated that there are over 100 miles of unimproved streets in Portland. One of the many detriments to residents that live on these streets is not only the lack of sidewalks, but also they have no furniture zones. I ask that the city provide guidelines to allow residents to garden along these streets where a furniture zone would normally be. However, I strongly suggest that the city mandate that any food grown on unimproved streets be in a planter. The reason is that soil on unimproved streets have high concentrations of contaminants from automobiles, such as lead, asbestos, and oil. Please do not fence in our City Hall garden. I ask that we create a culture where gardens and public spaces are open for all, especially to the many hungry people on the streets. When the food is ready to be harvested, make it truly available to those that need it most by setting an example that it's okay for people who are hungry to harvest what they need. I sincerely feel that the health of our City Hall garden is representative of the health of our city as a whole. Though I'm really busy this summer with another project, I very much would like to have the opportunity to spend a few minutes volunteering in our City Hall garden weeding next to commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Robert Bradley. I am the program coordinator for Loaves and Fishes Elm Court. I cannot overstate how important a City Hall garden is to Elm Court Loaves and Fishes. It reaches the very bedrock of our vision that no senior will go hungry or experience social isolation. Our mission to ensure and enrich the lives of seniors and assist them in maintaining independence is firmly rooted in our providing healthy meals and active social interaction. This garden will provide both in fundamentally meaningful ways. As you know, our clients are of an age where their ability to live independently is directly linked to their ability to have access to healthy food and regular exercise. A community garden that encourages people to actively participate in vigorous outdoor activity while assisting in providing fresh, locally grown organic food is cardinal to their continued health and vitality. A common refrain from our clients is a yearning for a return to standards they practiced as children, and among their fondest is the caring for and harvesting of food. Your resolution today will rekindle that spirited ideal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Steve, can you come back up? Questions, comments from council? Commissioner Fritz?
I'm wondering if we have an estimate on the cost of installation and where we're getting the donations from.
Donations are coming from city businesses and from volunteers.
And the volunteers are going to be constructing the garden?
Yes.
And what about the hard surface? What's that?
The hard surface?
The paths that we heard about?
Wood chips. There might be. Actually, Mary, do you want to come up too to answer some of these? And Dave? This is Dave Barman from Fiddleheads Landscaping, and Dave does some amazing rock work that you've probably seen around the city and not known it. And I know Dave has some ideas about wanting, and you've had some ideas as well about using some rock as well.
Yeah, we'd like to use some flagstone or some sort of pavers, permeable preferably, to access those more formal areas and delineate them from the beds.
And those will be donated too.
Yes.
Excellent.
I've been having some conversations with Lou Smith at Smith Rock. He's said he's willing to donate some materials, and so I have a few questions for him. So we're going to actually sit down and kind of work out some more details after.
And for the record, your name was?
David Barman.
Thank you very much for your work on this. Really appreciate it. Did you have more?
I do. I wonder how much staff time from Parks is needed to supervise this.
Lance Wright from Parks has come to a couple meetings. They are in charge of keeping this space, and we're actually trying to make their job be easier and lessen the workload that they have at City Hall.
And is there a tool shed component, or the volunteers just going to be bringing them with them and taking them away again?
Commissioner Fish's office is looking into having a little bit of a I think that there is some opportunity that Parks has stored some things, and I know that they said that they will find us a closet.
Excellent. And do we have a contract with the Master Gardening Program rather than with particular volunteers?
No, we don't. We don't have a contract. We've been talking to the leader of that program, who's also the chair of the Food Policy Council. And as you probably know, they have graduates every year, and they're going to assign and actually take volunteers for folks who are interested in making this be a significant part of their payback that they have to give back to the program. So they will be actually a few people that will be assigned to the City Hall Garden. We have no lack of volunteers, of folks who want to work on the garden, as well as every business that we've talked to has said, whatever you need.
I think it might be something to think about in terms of having a contract with a particular program rather than with particular people, just to be clear about who is going to take care of it. I've been involved in some of these things on school properties, and sometimes when the initial volunteers, the enthusiasm wanes or they move mm-hmm. on, and there can be issues with who's in charge and who's going to take over next. So
I was just going to add that I've also been involved in several of these kind of community garden style projects, and so it's really important that long-term maintenance is that's thought about, and so we kind of proposed getting some things started over that weekend, and then Mark and I coming in and doing some, my business partner and I coming in and doing some more kind of professional-oriented work and, you know, building something that's going to sustain itself and be there for the long term, and also get that kind of good buy-in so that this isn't something that is kind of there for a year or two, but it actually lasts for a long period of time. So I totally understand all your questions and where you're going with it. So we've talked about it quite a bit.
Just to clarify, there is a responsibility for city commissioners and their staff to do the weeding. And
all right. Well, you're all on the hook.
We work year-round here.
There have been a number of organizations that have asked if they could be a part. Lowe's and Fish's Elm Court has seniors that would also like to get involved. We have folks from Janus Youth Group program, the Foodworks, that would like to be involved. So we definitely understand that we need to have a long-term plan for how we will manage the garden. Right now, it's kind of taking the groups and seeing how we're going to divide up all of the energy that they want to give to the garden, so we make sure we will be covered year-round and in perpetuity as long as that garden is there.
Excellent. And I note with the pleasure that it's an organic garden. Has there been any discussion of potential problems with rodents? I know we had a problem across the street a while back. Is there any discussion about that?
We'll let them meet to a certain extent.
Is that part of your job description as well?
I just want to clarify. Rodent control. I'm
not sure.
There are rodents across the street?
Several years ago.
The Portland building? In the Portland building?
No, not across that street, in the park.
Okay. If you want to throw mud at my bureau, Commissioner, I would prefer anything to else? Have that private conversation. But anything else, Commissioner Fritz?
No, thank you.
Okay. Unless there's additional council discussion, this is a resolution. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Thank you. Mayor and your team, I understand Amy Ruiz took the lead on this. You're one of your sustainability coordinators. I want to acknowledge her good work. I want to start by thanking the Portland Multnomah Food Policy Council for their tremendous dedication. And for their leadership in helping the Portland region become a leader in the sustainable food movement. And in particular, I want to thank those folks who are also members of the Friends of Community Gardens, which does such yeoman's work for the Parks Bureau and supporting our community garden program. The City of Portland is blessed to have committed leaders like Steve and Mary and Tammy, who are voluntarily serving on the Food Policy Council and developing some of the region, in fact, the world's most innovative food policy solutions. As has been noted earlier, even with all the great work going on, though, the state of Oregon is, I think, currently third in the nation in hunger, and that number is likely to get worse since all of our numbers are eroding. And Tammy, you might have mentioned it earlier, but the last I heard, over 50,000 Oregonians will go to bed hungry tonight, and those numbers are growing rapidly. While the data is certainly very disheartening, we also have this opportunity before us. We have leaders from all sectors who are ready to collaborate and work together to find lasting solutions. So it is in the spirit of coming together that we are building this demonstration model here in downtown Portland. And this is one way we can get out the message to our community that growing food can have a real impact on the lives of fellow citizens. I asked Emily Hicks, who is in my office is working on these issues, to just research a little data, and I just want to share with you. Last year, Portland community gardeners were able to donate over 10,000 pounds of fresh produce to local food relief organizations, which is astonishing. And in the Cully Community Gardens alone, they donated over 1,000 pounds of produce. I hope that despite the shadows of the downtown buildings, that our garden can provide substantial produce for Robert's program at Loaves and Fishes. Mayor Adams has made it clear that he's committed to removing barriers to growing food, and as Parks Commissioner, I've put the city's community gardens program at the top of my priority list. Together, the City Council recognizes that improving access to healthy food and strengthening our local food system helps our city become more resilient during tough times. Although we have often been identified as a leader in the sustainability and food security movements, we have only begun to touch the surface of what can and frankly must be done. Gardens not only provide nutritious food, as I have learned, but there are lots of other benefits to growing food. Gardens can become community focal points where neighbors of all cultures and generations come together, and we know that particularly with our affordable housing portfolios. They provide outdoor exercise and environmental education opportunities. They make the city more beautiful and green and welcoming to birds and wildlife. And growing food and buying local products also helps us address global challenges like climate change and peak oil. These are complex and interconnected challenges that we can simply not solve alone. They require us as leaders to explore new forms of collaboration and develop new cross-agency partnerships and new public-private partnerships. I know that this new garden is just one of the many projects that the Multnomah-Portland Food Policy Council is working on. I want to thank you for your thoughtful recommendations and your work and your vision. I want to thank the mayor for his leadership on this issue. And we at Parks look forward to being part of a very ambitious plan to expand the scope of community gardens in this great city. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank the mayor's office and Steve Cohn in particular and the Food Policy Council for really getting this up and running and the many businesses that are going to help make this work. I think it's a great idea. It and touches on a lot of themes that are important to us as a city and to, as a nation. So let's get growing. Aye.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
So it's the visibility of this project which makes it so splendid, and to highlight the good work at the food bank and the community garden program. It's important to note that there aren't any tax dollars being used except for the irrigation and supervision, which would be looking after that area anyway. Wanted to note that we did receive an email from someone concerned about being not allowed to put a garden in a planter strip because of a structure also being put in a planter strip. So while you can't do raised beds in planter strips, you can indeed mound up the dirt and grow stuff in the planter strip. And so we would encourage citizens citywide to take advantage of sunny spots, which sometimes the planter strip is the only sunny spot, and go ahead and do that and share. Commend Commissioner Fish and the Friends of Community Gardens and all the folks who have been involved in this for putting together a great project and indeed highlighting the value of the Community Gardens program citywide. It's astonishing that the length of the waiting list for getting the established plots, and also looking to the Better Together program, which Mayor Adams is leading, so that folks in the community who have spare yard space can offer it to others to come and garden there and maybe share in the produce. It's great that we're getting rid of the lawn in front of City Hall. I mean, why did we not think of this before? And thank you so much. Aye.
Adams.
Well, it's we're going to be putting a garden, vegetable garden, in the front lawn of City Hall, and we're currently looking at all aspects of the code to make sure that there aren't any other legal impediments for Portlanders to put gardens in their front yards and in their front parking strips. When it came to our attention 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in the Oregonian, that a raised planter in the parking strip was being tagged by the Bureau of Transportation, that was news to me. My neighborhood has a number of these already in North Portland, and we were taking that as an opportunity to do a quick review of the code, more holistic review of the code, to see if there's anything else that we need to fix. But we will be fixing that and giving folks some reasonable guidelines to continue to encourage people to do more planting of edible plants in the front area. So I want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for the diggable sort of roots, the diggable What's that?
Diggable City.
Diggable City work that came before us. I can't tell you how pleased I am to have Commissioner Fish and Parks that shares the enthusiasm for this and understand the benefits of all of its aspects, also the support of everyone else on council. Really pleased to get this done, and we have a lot more opportunities that we're going to be pursuing. Aye. 474 is approved. Could you please read the title for the second reading of 475?
Authorize the Portland Water Bureau to establish an office and a retail sales and service use for the Portland Rose Festival Foundation and the Albertina Kerr Centers on property located at 1020 Southwest NATO Parkway and affix an electronic rooftop sign.
This is a second reading, so it's a vote only. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Thank you, Carla. I want to compliment my colleague, Commissioner Leonard, for the hard work under a punishing timeline of both his office, he personally, and his team at Water and BDS to reach this moment. I do want to say, though, that I think in the discussion of the historic building, the structures, and the sign, we from time to time lose track of a bigger theme that has prompted this initiative, and frankly is what I think is ultimately driving Commissioner Leonard. And that is a historic new partnership between the City of Portland and the Rose Festival. Randy is our liaison to the Rose Festival. It is well known that the Rose Festival, like many other nonprofit organizations in this time of economic catastrophe, has been hit hard. What the mayor and Commissioner Leonard have said is that the future and prosperity of the Rose Festival is important to the City of Portland. We could have stood on the sidelines, or we could have become engaged. Randy has a well-earned reputation for getting things done on time and moving bureaucratic roadblocks. Reasonable people can agree or disagree with the aesthetics of the Rose sign. I happen to like it. Reasonable people can agree or disagree about the historic color scheme of the building and some of the other things that are being doing. But what we can't lose track of is that this is motivated by a desire to partner with the Rose Festival and help them be successful. And furthermore, this historic building has not had a very happy immediate past. And whatever one's view of the action we're taking today, the Yon building will be in much better shape than it would have been had we taken no action. So I'm pleased to support this effort, and I'm really particularly impressed with the way Randy and his team have moved this, again, on a very punishing timeline. And I think 20 years from now, when we look back on all of his great accomplishments, and there'll have to be at least a chapter on signs. I think this will be a fitting legacy to the larger spirit of the city partnering with an important institution and helping it prosper, but also to a renaissance in this part of Portland, to a building that has been derelict, and frankly, to a potentially a new iconic symbol for our city going forward. So in that spirit, I am pleased to vote aye.
Seltzman?
Well, I've had conversations with Commissioner Leonard in the ensuing week about concerns I had and expressed last week and before about the use of water ratepayer dollars for this project and just getting bounds and parameters. And in our conversations, and correct me if I'm wrong in your subsequent vote, Commissioner Leonard, but any tenant improvements beyond sort of getting the building to habitability for an office use will, in fact, be reflected in a lease to be coming forward with the Portland Rose Festival Foundation, and that at most we might front them improvement costs somewhere in the $100,000 range. And then the second assurance was that the historical assessment that will be done with private funding, any improvements that arise out of that will be, in fact, subject to the Water Bureau's budget process, which is a very extensive citizen participation process. And those improvements will have to fare with all the other things that are competing for ratepayer dollars. So I believe that's the understanding I have reached with Commissioner Leonard. Those do allay my concerns. And While I still have concerns about waiving our sign code, I also recognize the importance this project represents to Commissioner Leonard, and therefore I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard?
Well, I appreciate the comments from both Commissioner Fish and Saltzman, and Commissioner Saltzman's willingness to support this project. When we started out on this venture, the building in Waterfront Park had been vacant for 3 years. Various entities have tried to move in and survive, all of whom